Listen up, all you golfers out there. You need to take a short drive to Acorns Golf Links. The family-owned and operated facility is located just 20 minutes from the JB Bridge. Once you arrive at Acorns, it's obvious it's more than just a top-notch golf experience. It's your chance to get away from the hustle and bustle of your daily routine. You'll notice over 65 identified bird species, rolling countryside, and a beautiful park-like setting. The Acorns experience is unmatched in value in the St. Louis area. Visit acornsgolflinks.com for more details and tee times.
Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studio on CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com.
7:03 in St. Louis, you are listening to the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports, 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM, and InsideSTL.com. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios, Tim McKernan, Jennings Randolph Jr. in for the Cat, Charlie Marlowe in for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and the Plow Shark and the Sea Monster, all one big sad family. On the morning after, no pun intended, the blues season comes to an end. Jennings, Charlie, dig in. The next 3 hours will be therapeutic for both us and the listeners. And, of course, the listeners are welcome to get involved and vent. 314-880-0808. The appliance discounter phone lines, 314-880-0808. The text lines and this captivating email, the day competition, that only has three more shows remaining for the month of May. Stephen Wildwood holding on by one over Matt, who bowls at Hank's. A lot of people keeping an eye on Misty Plops as well. The Get Tinted STL Captain's Log, Matthew Barnaby, going to be with us at 8 o'clock. Brian Lawton of the NHL Network with us at 8:30. And Kelly Chase coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. This is the Acorns Golf Links 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And we welcome you to get involved however you want, whatever opinion you want. This is the open marketplace of ideas. I'm never real good at the shows following a postseason loss because I don't do well with what I feel becomes the more commonplace approach for the majority of our cohorts in sports media following a season coming to an end, which is, oh, it was a great year and they got a lot of people coming back. I kind of view that almost like religion. It's like somebody died. Well, they're in a better place. I don't know if they are. So I evaluate it more from an unfortunate, logical, in my opinion, of course, standpoint. And so it's difficult for me to sit here and go, oh, they got a bunch of guys coming back. Because I don't know. I don't know if Ken Hitchcock's coming back. I don't know if David Backus is coming back. I don't know if Troy Brower's coming back. I don't know if Kevin Shattenkirk's still going to be around. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good or bad thing. But I do know that with a minute 30 remaining in the second period of Game 5, the Blues were 21 minutes and 30 seconds away from being one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals. And so, therefore, I can't just easily glide into, well, it was a hell of a year and these guys played hard, and San Jose was just the better team, and they'll be back next year because the Blackhawks will also be back next year. The Kings will also be back next year. The Ducks will also be back next year. There might be a couple of up-and-coming teams, such as the Predators or Wild, that'll be back next year. And then you have the San Jose Sharks and maybe a healthy Dallas Stars that'll also be back next year. So when you are one of the four remaining teams, and when you are the one team that is 21 and a half minutes away at home, away from getting to the Stanley Cup Finals, and then you perform dreadfully for the next 21 and a half minutes and almost all of the next 60 minutes, it's not as easy for me to just go, well, it was a hell of a year and these guys played hard and it's hard to complain when they did something that they did for the first time in 15 years. That's not where I am. Now, I'm not advocating that you take an upset position at all, or anybody. If you're calm and able to get through it a little easier than I am, then God bless you. This is my own personal viewpoint. I just feel like when you're that close and you also look at the math on the fact that there have only been three conference final teams since the Blues went to the Stanley Cup Finals in 1970, It's not easy for me to just go, oh, well, you know, they were the better team. They might have been the better team. I would say they were the better team. But the Blues were up 3-2 late in the second period at home. And once they got that power play goal and then the go-ahead goal in the third period of Game 5, the Blues were never really back in it. They were never really back in it. And that, for me, is very difficult to just write off and go, well, it was a hell of a year and they got pretty far. Because once again, just like 2013, just like 2014, just like 2015, here in 2016, they had a chance to take a commanding 3-2 series lead with Game 5 at home, and they blew it. And that is very difficult for me as a fan. Take the talk show host, whatever, out of it. That's very difficult for me as a fan to just move past at this point. In a couple weeks, yes, of course, it was a great season. I don't it's to like get in the straw man argument of was it a great season or not. How can any of you say it wasn't a great season? Who isn't saying it's a great season? I mean, it's hot take. I get it. It's hot take, and you got to do it, and you get phone calls and arguments. But that's not where I am. They were 21 and a half minutes away from being up 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Finals. And then they played terrible hockey in the third period, and then in the first and second, and first 15 minutes of the third period of Game 6. And that's just tough for me to do 12 hours later, go, well, it was a hell of a year. So that's where I am. That doesn't mean that's where you need to be. I just want to let you know in advance, gentlemen, that's where I am.
I'm kind of at both, because, as you know, I had kind of written off hockey, in a sense, until the postseason and wanted them to win a series. The difference here is, like you said, Tim, the opportunity. The opportunity to get to the Stanley Cup, to be that close, it makes you wonder what happened, why they played so differently at times, why they were so inconsistent, the goaltending the last couple of games. I am pleased, obviously, with what they have done in the postseason. But I agree with Tim that just to kind of gloss over it and say, oh, all's going to be okay, you have to look at what happened and how this team played so differently at times throughout this series especially. So disappointed, not crushed, hopeful of the future.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely okay to be very disappointed right now. As you said, the opportunity, you don't know how often this will come about. It had been 15 years since the Blues got this far. And there's a reason guys like David Backes were literally crying last night in the postgame. You don't know if he's going to be back. You don't know if this nucleus of the team will be back. You don't know if your coach will be back. And the Blues have been really good the last 5 years. They never got out of the first round for the last 4 years until this season. Yep. You may never get this opportunity again. And there wasn't a juggernaut team this year that was left in the playoffs. So if the Blues won this series, very good chance they hoist the cup for the first time ever. Maybe next year the Blackhawks are awesome. Ken Hitchcock said Dallas is the team of the future. He said that after they beat them. You just never know if you'll have this great of an opportunity to win the cup in the next 10, 15 years.
You are welcome to express your thoughts, 314-880-0808, the Appliance Discounter phone lines, and you can also text in at 314-880-0808. Plow Shark, you were the Plow Shark for a reason. You were bullish on the Sharks. Your reaction, sir?
I just got outplayed. I did hot takes on Twitter, and I think people are trying to justify that I'm saying it was a bad season.
People are doing the straw man with you?
Yeah, and after Game 7 against Chicago, that was all I needed. You know, you beat a team like that, you get that monkey off your back, you win a series. And so after that, I'm kind of, you know, a win situation regardless of how far we got. Disappointing how we played, though, against San Jose. I think that's the main disappointment there is, I don't like to bring up effort. I know you hate people that bring up effort.
No, that's not true. I feel like it's a crutch for people who don't really necessarily follow the game or understand the game, and it's a go-to play when the team loses. But that's just for the record. I don't hate people who, you know.
I just thought in crunch time they showed their weakest game, and San Jose stepped it up, especially with that front line.
I wonder, though, did the Blues really play that poorly, or did San Jose just play that much better? And I know that's a weird argument to have, but
it's a legit question.
It wasn't that close of a series for being a six-game series. It felt more like five games, and really, of the three wins from San Jose, they dominated. They dominated three of their victories. Yes. You had the close game that ended up being 6-3, but
and they outplayed
like,
the Blues in one of their losses,
right? Yep. And in Game One, where the Blues did win, you could make a case that either the Blues were outplayed or at best it was a 50-50 game there that the Blues were able to win. So it wasn't one of those close series, especially like Chicago. You felt like you watched it and the Blues just got beat by a better team. And I think you're kind of more okay with that than if it was this seven-gamer where you felt like the Blues should have won. I don't think the Blues should have won this series.
And then that's where I would have been on the Star Series. To me, there was a clear gap there, and I'm sure in San Jose, had the Blues won this series, which, once again, was certainly possible based on the fact they were up 3-2 with a minute and a half left in the second period, it was actually possible, even though they were outplayed and may have been the lesser team, although I think there was more to that from a health standpoint, and I think we will find out some of that in the next 24, 48 hours, specifically with Steen. I still don't know what's going on with Tarasenko. Yes, he had a lovely 4 minutes at the end of the series, but there was a lot more hockey before that where he was not a factor. But the Blues were in position to win despite that, similar to the Dallas Stars, who I thought the Blues were, I don't know, clearly, but they were the better team, and part of that was because the Stars weren't their full team. You're welcome to get involved. I want to encourage that. I want to let people sound off however they want to do so, whether it be text, email, or calling in here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Matthew Barnaby, Brian Lawton, Kelly Chase will be the guests on the course of the program. And we welcome you to be a part of the discussion throughout. Our Stanley Cup playoff coverage is brought to you by Bud Light. Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, and they have been with us since this all started. About a month and a half ago at this point, it is Bud Light, the official beer of the Ryan Kelly Morning After and the presenting sponsor of our Stanley Cup playoff coverage here on the radio program. Jared, good morning.
Hey, guys. What's up?
What's happening, Jared?
Morning.
Hey. In my opinion, I think this thing's worse than any of the other, you know, most recent playoff disappointments because I guess you got so far and then for it to just end. It hurts mainly the most because this felt like actually this could be it. This felt like this might, it was all lined up for them to do it. This might actually happen. And you start with the first round. Okay. They finally got that monkey off their back. They got out of the first round. They did it. And not only did they do it, they took out the defending Stanley Cup champions. So there's one team. You got them out of the way. Then you play the number one seed in the West, Dallas Stars. And granted, they were, you know, not 100%, but still, you took out them. They're out of the way. One of the biggest thorns in your side in recent years, the L.A. Kings, they were taken out. You don't have to worry about them. They're out of the way. Another team that you don't have that always gave you, that always give the Blues trouble, the Anaheim Ducks. They were knocked out. Then you look at the President's Trophy winning Washington Capitals, who, you know, were steamrolling over teams this year. They were knocked out. You don't have to worry about them. They were down to the final four teams. There was no team this year that, you know, it's not like the Blues were playing with house money. It's like, oh, well, it was a nice run, but they were never going to beat so-and-so anyway. That wasn't the case. It's not like there was some, you know, 1990s type Detroit Red Wings team, you know, chock full of Hall of Famers waiting for them that if the Blues ever had to face them, you're going to be like, well, you know, they have no chance. It was just, I think everyone agreed going into this series against the Sharks, not one person said, oh, God. This is where it ends. We all thought this is going to be tough. It's not going to be easy, but the Blues can beat them. They're very capable. There's four teams left. They had their highest remaining seed left. They've got home ice advantage. They're a great team at home. They might actually do it. And then for it to just end, it's like, and then you watch these last month and a half as a fan of how hard it really is to win the whole thing. And they still fell six games short. And you wonder as a Blues fan, of course, obviously, because we're so suffering is, yeah, when are they ever going to do it again? And then I guess the last thing, when are they ever going to get there again, I should say, if they ever will. And then I guess really what's hard to swallow was watching or listening to the fans say, or the announcer say last night, the long-suffering Sharks fans, you kind of just watch that and be like, F you, you know. You have no idea. And then finally, last thing I'll say, guys, is whoever plays the Sharks, I definitely want the Sharks to get destroyed, not only because I don't really like them and don't like players like Thornton and Burns, but also because I don't know if I can stomach watching another 1990s expansion team, you know, win the cup before the Blues. So that's just the way it is. All right, thanks, guys.
Jared, thank you. Well, you might have one with the Lightning, although they've already gotten there. But in respect to the framed story last night for NBC on the Sharks, that was just, I think, a producer, probably somebody in upper management, and then the dogma spread through the underlings of that's the angle we're going to take, that this is a long-suffering fan base. And they just missed on that. I can understand Blues fans actually being angry about that, because they put up the graphic every year when the Blues season comes to an end of how many years it's been in the organization. So now you're at 49 without a Stanley Cup. And you have to, in the NFL, look at the Atlanta Falcons. I believe it's 48 years for the Falcons. And then the Texas Rangers and the Houston Astros in Major League Baseball. So, you know, to portray the Sharks as this, you know, woebegone Chicago Cubs, Cleveland Indians, city of Cleveland in general operation, you know, I guess it's a nice storyline. But but when you're doing that against the St. Louis Blues, it pales in comparison. And I thought that was really an odd line to take in the hand, so to speak.
And his other point is the same one we've kind of touched on, is the fact that it looked like you had the opportunity, as things set up in both the Western and Eastern Conference Finals, that this team had a really, really good chance, as Chuck said earlier, to win the cup. And that leaves a sting. It takes away from the success, because we haven't had the success, because you got there and you looked around when you were down to four and you thought, this could be it.
And I'll be honest, I don't want to say overlook the Sharks, but after beating the Hawks, after beating the Stars, and we know the teams in the Central Division much better. We watch more of those games. Sharks, obviously, on the West Coast. I figured that this series might be easier than the first two series, especially the Chicago series, and that was obviously not the case, because the Sharks were the toughest opponent of all three by far. It was just two teams that were the same, kind of, in a way that both of them have had all of these playoff failures in recent years, so you don't think of the Sharks in the same vein as you do the Hawks. The Hawks have three cups. You fear that. With the Sharks, you have a team that had the same type of failures as the Blues, and finally they break through in the worst possible year for the Blues.
I thought one of the more there were two sound bites from last night that stood out to me. The one that I think is going to get the most play is David Backes. Breaking down would be overstating it, but certainly being emotional. And we'll get to that in a moment, because I think it encapsulates this team. You do hear oftentimes about how close a team is, how good of a group of guys it is. And I don't think you always hear that. And sometimes there are teams that aren't necessarily close that have success. The 2006 Cardinals would be one of those. When it's not close, there's no reason why it would get talked about, but that team wasn't real close. It went on a run. But this team was really close, and so David Backes' emotional comments last night I think encapsulates that, and we will have that in a moment. But from a why standpoint. Now, see, Charlie, I disagree on at least my viewpoint. I don't know what the public's was overall percentage-wise. I thought the Blues-Blackhawks flip going in. I was worried by how everybody seemed to be picking the Blues against the Stars, but hockey people, and I'm talking about whether it be locally or around Canada in the United States, were saying the Stars and Blues, the matchup just favors the Blues in a major way. The Sharks, however, and whoever came out of the Pacific, that being the Ducks, Kings, or Sharks, Kelly Chase, a regular throughout the last month and a half, was saying that's going to be the bad matchup for the Blues. And so I was worried about it. We didn't know Tarasenko was in whatever shape Tarasenko was in. I think something was really wrong with Steen. I think we'll hear about that in the next 48 hours. But I didn't have that viewpoint. And part of that, I think, is just from recent history. The Blues have lost in 2012, 2013, 2014, 2015, and 2016 with home ice.
Yeah.
So, you know, even though they were the favorite, I didn't necessarily view it that way. And I know when the Predators and Sharks were playing in that Game 7, I was big time on the Predators, and it wasn't just the time zone thing. But Ken Hitchcock, when he was asked essentially what happened, this is soundbite number three, discussed the factor, the toll that going seven in the first two rounds he thought took on his team versus San Jose being able to get out of the first round against the Kings in five games. Now, they did go the distance with the Predators, but they only played five against the Kings. Here's Ken Hitchcock.
We had individuals that, you know, they were struggling. Guys that were high minutes players because of the, you know, we're going to look back on a lot of things, but one of the things that hurt us energy-wise was our inability to close out when we had the opportunity. It extended the series, ended up forcing us into playing players multiple minutes, and ended up really hurting us in this series overall.
So along those lines, if you do want to at least workshop that theory, workshop becoming a popular term on this program.
Did not know that.
Yeah, it is. You would look back on Game 5 against the Blackhawks in that overtime game. They were down 3-1. They tied it, and Patrick Kane won it in overtime. And, boy, did the Blues have some opportunities, not only to win it in regulation. I know I'm going back a month plus here at this point. But they had a power play late in the third against the Blackhawks, and then they also had numerous opportunities in that overtime before Kane won it. And what that extra rest may have done. You don't think about that at the time. You're just like, damn it, they lost, because you don't know that they're going to win. They had a chance to close out the Stars in St. Louis in Game 6, weren't able to do it. And then you're thinking, oh, they're going to lose in Game 7. And sure enough, they just beat the hell out of the Stars. That's what he's talking about. There were opportunities to really get some rest. And while it was only a two-game disparity, because the Sharks played 12 and the Blues played 14 going in, I have to say that when you observe the series and how much it felt like, and I think it was a hockey writer, and I can't recall the name, but I read this morning, you know, of the 18 periods that we witnessed, I felt like if this were a boxing match and you had 18 rounds, I would have scored 13, give or take one, to the Sharks. I don't think if they're playing these games in the middle of the season and it's a video game roster, so to speak, in other words, there's no injuries, that the Sharks would even be close to dominating 13 of 18 periods against the Blues. But when you factor in health and perhaps when you factor in fatigue, something I discounted early on in the series, that may help explain why, for the most part, the Blues look to be the inferior team for the majority, not just like 10 of 18, but a healthy percentage of the majority of the periods.
Well, and there was no doubt in Game 2 that it looked like the Sharks were a step or two ahead. I mean, that was where it was, to me, really evident. They kind of stole Game 1, but Game 2, it looked like we were on ice that it was melting, and they looked like they were on a sheet of ice where they were just rolling. And that Game 2 maybe should have given us more of an indication of where the Blues were and where the Sharks were.
I also think you have to credit the Sharks for dispatching the Kings in, you know, less than seven games, because I know the Kings team this year isn't necessarily as good as years past.
Well, they were the favorite to win the West going in. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean they were the best. I'm just saying that which surprised me, but they were the favorite. They were they and the Blackhawks.
Right, and that's a team that has beaten the Blues twice, and whenever you hear from hockey people, everybody say the LA Kings play the heaviest game of any of these teams in hockey, so the fact that the Sharks were able to beat them and beat them quickly and move on and get some rest, to me, I even give them more credit, because the Blues in recent years never even took the Sharks or the Kings to seven games.
The mishaps in Game 5 in St. Louis, or Game 5s, I should say, in St. Louis, you know, it. I don't know how to explain it. At this point, you have 4 years worth of a sample size, and if you want to include Game 5 against the Blackhawks, I was talking more on when the series is tied at two, but it is a five-game losing streak of Game 5s in the Stanley Cup playoffs played at the Scott Trade Center. And there is no such thing as a Game 5 that's not a kick to the balls, including one where you're up 3-1. But when it's 2-2 and you lose, that's bad. And three of those four have either gone to overtime or the Blues were leading late in the second period, at the very least tied going into the third. And they just weren't able to get it done. And the trajectory, the organization, not just, of course, that season, an obvious statement, but the trajectory for the organization, if you can just win that Game 5, and what it means is we were talking about the statistic of how 79% of the teams that win the Game 5 in a tied series at 2 go on to win that series. The Blues are 0 for 0-4 over the last 4 years, and all of them have been played at home. And that's just a really difficult statistic to
That's absorb. Hard to take.
Yeah.
Right.
Joe, you are on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning.
What's up, Chuck?
What's up?
I was going to talk about the Blues, and obviously, you know, a long-suffering fan base here, and longer than San Jose, which is a little frustrating to hear the narrative played out, and we'll be hearing it, I'm sure, for the next couple weeks. But, you know, I was thinking last night as the game was closing out, it reminded me a lot of the Rams, and I can't remember exactly what year it was, but it was a year they were 7-8. Going into Seattle, it was Bradford's first year, and they had a chance if they beat Seattle to make it to the playoffs.
Yeah,
and
2010.
There you go. Thank you, Timmy. And,
clip that off.
You know, the whole narrative was that, you know, after they lost that game, and it was the one at the end where the Rams just kind of played for the field goal or played for the tie, didn't really go for the throat to win the game. And I remember around St. Louis, it was, oh, it's we've got this rookie quarterback. It's going to be great. We're going to be back here soon. And at the time, that was when I think San Francisco was down, and there were a lot of things going the Rams' way to get into the playoffs that year from the NFC West. And I remember thinking, you know, this is – you get these opportunities, you know, once every 10 or 15 years. You got to seize them when they're there. And I feel like that's a little bit of the frustrating thing with this run. As exciting as it was to watch the Blues and as thrilling as it was that they made it out of the first round and then beat the Stars in the second round, there is that little underlying bitter taste that makes you think, man, this may not come around another 15 years. We really had a team to do it, and we had a hot goalie, at least for the for the first two rounds, that made you think we've caught a little bit of fire here. So but not to reopen fresh wounds with talking about the Rams, but I think it's one of those things that going into the offseason and looking into next year, it's a long road to go to get back to where we were now. And it you know, part of the reason I think St. Louis is not feeling so great this morning is because a lot of people around here realize it takes a lot to get back to the conference finals, and it may not be something we do for 15 years, regardless of what cast of characters we're able to assemble next year going in with cap things and considerations like that.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for the call, Joe. You know, a team like the Washington Capitals that went on a record-setting pace at times throughout the course of the regular season and then lost in the second round of the Pittsburgh Penguins. So when you have the opportunity, and that was the speech that Ken Hitchcock delivered the night before Game 7 in Dallas, is that you never know when you're going to be back. Remember, we can't – I'm not saying we – I can't. I'm speaking for myself. Ignore to try and make myself feel better of the reality of it. It is so difficult just to get to this point. And so then when you have the kind of performance you have, when you're up 3-2 late in the second period, one win away from the Stanley Cup Finals, to play like they did in the third period of Game 5 at home and to play like they did for the first 55 minutes, I mean, for real, that thing, it was boring. It was just boring, just like Games 2 and 3. They were just getting dominated. You know, I'm not going to, like, let's hold people accountable and, you know, whatever. That's not – it's very disappointing. And when I did the show with Jim Edmonds in 2014, and we talked about some of those teams that made it to the NLCS but came up short, he said the thing that would stand out to him when they would lose in the playoffs is, God, it's over. And I know how much work and how much time it takes just to get back to where we just were, and how much good fortune from a health standpoint and a good break standpoint it took just to get back there. And that's the reality, and that's why I can't just go, okay, they're going to be back, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs, where it really is an NCAA tournament-like format. So that's what makes it in particular difficult, especially when you just look at the math. We've seen three conference finals around here since 1986.
Right.
You know, guys, not discounting the season as a whole, but given how hard the championship is to win, the road couldn't have been any better for this team, and they squandered it. They just never seemed to be in it and completely abandoned the game that got them there, and I don't know how they justify their poor play on home ice. I don't think anybody's trying to justify it at all. If anything, they're being very critical of themselves for it. You know, I mean, I want to make it crystal clear, because I feel like this becomes like the thing, if you don't cover it, then, you know, it becomes a weakness in the argument, so to speak. But that is, the San Jose Sharks were clearly, for the six games, the better team. And you have to credit the San Jose Sharks. I will credit the San Jose Sharks. I'm sure most of the listeners will, if not all the listeners will, for winning. That wasn't a series the Blues lost The thing that stands out to me, though, is the disparity in the play, the domination for the most part in the play. Game four, an outlier. The rest of the games, if that went to a judge's scorecard, the San Jose Sharks win convincingly, and there wouldn't be even a whole lot of drama with it. The Appliance Discounter phone line, six St. Louis area locations to serve you, one in Illinois, five in Missouri. They're online at theappliancediscounters.com. They're the sponsor of our phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Make sure you support the sponsors, theappliancediscounters.com, with locations in Baldwin, Webster Grove, St. Charles, Arnold, St. Louis City, and Fairview Heights. I made reference to the David Backes emotion following last night's loss. If you can recall, before Game 5, it was up in the air as to whether or not he would play. And Backes got into a story from the morning of Game 5 in which Steve Ott came to him, gave him something that allowed him to play. That, in and of itself, is intriguing to me. But in telling the story, you can hear the emotion in David Backes' voice.
He'll kill me for telling you the story, but Game 5, I'm not feeling well, and Steve Ott brings me something to help me feel better. And knowing that he's the guy coming out of the lineup if I can play, that's pretty selfless. And that's the kind of guys we have in here. So that just stories like that, that, you know, guys blocking shots and sacrificing their bodies, it's tough to swallow, but you know that the heart's in here and the ability's in there. We just come up short.
David Backes.
Yeah, what's tough to swallow, David, is how the team didn't perform after performing pretty damn well down the stretch of the season and then against the Blackhawks and the Stars. That's the striking thing. Charlie said earlier, how much of it was the Sharks being better and the Blues being off? But clearly, this team, other than a couple of stretches, Timmy, did not play like the team we had seen in the previous two series.
Yeah.
And the goaltending, that's the last line of defense. Well, you know what? It struggled in games 5 and 6. Now, there was some reason for it, but, you know, you had a sense after the first two series that Elliott could steal a game at any time in a series. There was no stealing games by a goaltender in this series.
Right.
I mean, it just didn't happen.
And I know that the Blues fan base has been long-suffering and have suffered longer than the Sharks. So I understand people mad at that narrative. And I didn't watch NBC Sports Network, but if that's what they were talking about after the game. But the Blues also, they haven't been this far before. And you can make a case. You look at the Sharks lineup. They have a team that's been here before, and as a team, they've actually suffered much more in terms of getting close and not getting there. I was just looking through some of the players. I mean, Marlowe's been there since 97-98, Thornton since 05-06. They're both 36 years old. Pavelski's been there since 06-07, Couture 7 years. So they've went through they've went through a long time of playoff defeats, and I do think it's going to help the Blues going forward, getting this far and learning and knowing what it takes now to get over the hump. The Sharks players have been through a lot of these defeats to finally break through.
Well, the thing is that part of this core is not going to be back. I don't know who, whether Backes will be back is up in the air. Whether Brouwer will be back is up in the air. I think most would say no.
Will the coach be back?
See, there's discussion to an extent, you know, people on the fan page, people on Twitter, you know, will Hitchcock be back? And I take that question as, does he want to come back? Mm-hmm. I think it's his choice. Had he lost to the Blackhawks, it would not have been his choice. I think even if he would have lost to the Stars, I think it would have been his choice. I don't know. But on this one, it's his choice. I'm not sure. He's on a one-year contract pattern now. He's Tony La Russa-ing it. But I think this group is very close, and a healthy percentage of the talent is under the age of 27. I think something, and I don't know if it'll ever come out, and that's not to say that I necessarily 100% know something, but what happened with Vladimir Tarasenko in this series is it's not like it's something that's flown under the radar. It certainly got attention after Game 5 in particular, but it was going on throughout the course of the series. That to me is quite odd. And to think that, I mean, imagine if Thornton or Pavelski was held absolutely scoreless
right
through six games or through five games in, you know, 55 minutes, what an advantage that would be for the Blues. Well, that's what was going on with Tarasenko, and I just think there's more to the story there. Steen, I think, something was up there. That's also the nature of the beast, and that's the thing about it. Not only do you have to get there, which isn't a guarantee in the NHL anymore, unlike the early 90s where damn near everybody got into the playoffs, you have to have the good fortune of being healthy. And then you also have to have the thing that we joked about for 6 weeks, puck luck. I mean, the Blues were a bounce on the Duncan Keith puck that bounced from crossbar to crossbar or from goalpost to goalpost from, you know, going into overtime with the Blackhawks in the first round. And, of course, Game 7 in Dallas, who knows? You're not going into that thing necessarily thinking they're going to win, and then sure enough, they ship them. So there's the health factor, and it seemed like the Blues had that, but as this thing progressed, I just can't imagine they truly, truly were healthy. Yes, bumps and bruises, but I think it may have been more extreme in other cases, and perhaps we'll find out on that. Perhaps we won't. Jason, you're on the Appliance Discounter phone line.
Hey, morning, guys. How are you?
What's up?
Hey, I think I'm in agreement with one of you guys spoke about, you know, you can't really look and be happy yet today. And for me, you know, people talk about, were they tired? Were they out of gas? That doesn't really resonate with me. They had a lot of man games, missed guys, missed chunks of time. I thought they should have been fresh for the playoffs. Perhaps injuries played a toll. Personally, I kind of look at, there was no adjustments in this series, guys, in my opinion. There was none. I mean, you saw when the Blues gained the red and get it deep, that's when they got San Jose on their heels. They could not stick to that game, and that's frustrating. That's frustrating to me. I don't understand, you know, why that is. Is it fatigue? I don't know. Maybe you guys see something that I'm forgetting, but that frustrates me more than anything.
Yeah, you hear guys talk about the fatigue factor, and former players or people that play, we've all heard this, that this is big boy stuff. This is the time of the year where it doesn't matter. You throw all that stuff out no matter how tired you are. But at some point, it does have to be a factor. I mean, you know, I do think that it did show in Game 2. Now, I still thought the Blues had a good chance to beat the Sharks after Game 2, and I shouldn't have. I should have learned my lesson there.
And speaking about the injuries, entering the playoffs, you thought the Blues' depth, especially at forward, was one of their great strengths.
That was what people were talking right about, the fact that we could roll out four lines for the first time in a long time.
And I'm sure you're going to hear, as Tim mentioned, you're going to hear guys having, you know, either minor surgeries or major things that, you know, some of these guys were hurt. But then also you got to look at the Stars get to a Game 7 without Sagan. You look at the Tampa Bay Lightning right now, who are about to play a Game 7 tonight without their best offensive player, arguably, in Stamkos, and Ben Bishop's been out since, what, the first game or second game of the Eastern Conference Finals. So a lot of teams deal with injuries, and the Blues did seem to have a team that was built for it depth-wise. When you're able to bring in a guy like a Yashkin and even Pay-Arvey in some of these series that aren't even dressing for most of the games, you thought this was the type of team that could overcome some of these injuries.
T.A. Korn's Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Matthew Barnaby at 8 o'clock. Brian Lawton of the NHL Network at 8:30. And Kelly Chase with us. Brought to you by GFI Digital. That comes your way in the 9 o'clock hour. Pull the audio of the Blues radio broadcast and listen to Chase's comments on Tarasenko's play. He makes a few comments about Tarasenko and, quote, "It's the playoffs, it's hard." I would ask that texter to elaborate. I didn't hear it. I was watching the game. I know a lot of people, and I do too, man. I truly do enjoy listening to Chase and Kerber, but I didn't hear it. But Chase, you know, was specific after the Game 1 win against San Jose in talking about how Tarasenko has to be better. And that was before the Blues started losing, and that was before the Tarasenko thing got more attention. You know, why wasn't he getting as much ice time against the Blackhawks? Why was he, a non-factor in this series? Yes, when you look at the stats, because of the two late goals, it might not stand out as much as it did to those of us who lived through it and watched it, but he was a non-factor. We beat the Blackhawks. That made my decade. It was so much fun watching them almost until June. Cannot wait until next year. That's from the 636. Tip of the cap to you for being able to handle in a very upbeat way. Now, this was just posted on the fan page. Jennings, you're friends with Bob Fesco. I used to do his show. It was a very brief run.
It's a short run.
Martin got a little frustrated with the program director and quit. That was the morning grind. And then the cat was fired, but he got a new bathroom out of the deal.
Yes.
Because he had a contract, and somehow somebody thought that, that wasn't going to hold up in court. And that was kind of a misplay, if you look back on it from a legal standpoint.
Kind of good for Jimmy.
But great for him, a new bathroom. And so then they paired me with Bob, who I had never met, and I have no ill will. It's just, it isn't, you know, I run one offense and he runs another. But I don't really think about him all that often, if ever. And I don't really think about Kansas City all that often, if ever. But he posted, let's play a quick game called Guess the City. I will give you three clues and you guess what city I am talking about. Number one, lost the NFL team to L.A. Number two, lost in the Stanley Cup playoffs to San Jose. Number three, baseball team 8 games back.
He's an interesting guy.
Salt on the wound.
I mean...
Bitter much?
He always yearned to be back in Kansas City. He's not even from Kansas City. I don't understand why he still feels the need to look at the negatives of St. Louis. And
get over it! What the hell can we do in this world to have fun? Nothing! Because you're out there saying everything we say is wrong! Tired of it!
He has created some sort of niche, I guess. And I always liked him because he made me laugh, but he clearly has some sort of still ill will against us. His last day of radio here in St. Louis, we were supposed to do a show from the studio, and he walked into the general manager's office, and I use that term lightly.
Who is the general manager?
It was Brother Dave Green.
Oh.
And he walked in and said, Dave, I'm leaving. My family and I are going back to Kansas City. And
oh, so it wasn't like a contract up or anything like that, or a whacking?
No, he couldn't. He missed Kansas City so much, and I, you know, it's a fine town, but I've never understood the battle between Kansas City and St. Louis.
I could have gone pumpkin picking!
And the whole making fun of other cities, that's so played out radio.
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I mean, Kansas City, St. Louis, come on, they're both fine.
Fine.
Neither are Miami or...
Yeah, I mean, it's
LA.
Just...
The Chiefs were in the NFL playoffs this year, I think, right? Weren't they?
They
won a game.
They beat the Texans, maybe?
Yeah, I don't know.
He goes to the NFL draft now. I mean, that's why I enjoy this. Why the TMA is my favorite show.
We'll try and give more hot takes. It just struck me as an odd thing to even like.
Yeah, he's got some odd tendencies.
People from St. Louis suck.
That's the afternoon host.
In Kansas City?
Yes, we had him on the program. That was, I guess, maybe it was in 2014 when it looked like the Cardinals and Royals could
meet,
play in the World Series. Yeah, it just didn't, I mean, when the Blues lost last night, I didn't go, God, I wonder what they're thinking in Kansas City.
Yeah,
when the Chiefs lost in January, I wasn't like, yes, it's a nice win for us. You know,
we'll have stuff to talk about tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah, but they're feeling good. They're rolling on the World Series high still. God bless them.
Let's see what I got here. Troy Brower expounded on something that we've talked about a good amount as well, and that is the Blues and the home record. The fact that they were 2 wins away from the Stanley Cup Finals, yet they were 4-6 at home, that's an anomaly. I can't imagine that stats have been out there too often in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Here's Troy Brower on why playing at home was a struggle for the Blues in the playoffs.
You know, in the playoffs, you always focus on making sure you win on the road and you expect to win at home. And you know, I thought our preparation at home was really good as well. But it just, I don't know. It's, if we could explain it, we would change it. And you know, I thought we did a good job preparing for every game. Coaches had us ready to go. You know, I thought we worked hard all through the playoffs, gave it all we got. You know, tried to give ourselves every opportunity to win. And you know, some nights you have it, some nights you can't get a win. And so, you know, it's just a gloomy feeling in here.
Troy Brower on the home games. The game 6 against the Stars was a pretty lackluster performance. The game 5 against the Blackhawks was a damn good game, and that was really there for the taking. And if you want to Monday morning quarterback it with me, that would be the one that perhaps, if they're able to close that series out and have some extra rest, perhaps there's a domino effect in the positive direction for the Blues, and that they aren't as gassed as it looked like they were by the time they got to the Sharks. But they just weren't able to get it done at home in Game 5 against the Blackhawks, at home in Game 6 against the Stars, and at home in Game 5 against the Sharks. And it caught up with them. A variety of comments around Canada and the United States on the festivities. And I don't know if this will make you feel better or not. Funny how this works. This is from Alan Moore, M-U-I-R. Jennings, how would you pronounce that?
Muir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Funny how Sports Illustrated, funny how hockey works, ain't it? The Sharks were the sixth best team in the West during the regular season and were hardly seen as a postseason threat. But they elevated their game down the stretch and ramped it up even further as the playoffs unfolded. That's what got them through the series. The ability to manufacture and sustain intensity in a way the Blues simply couldn't match. They were faster, more aggressive on both sides of the puck, and were opportunistic around the net. It's the textbook version of how to succeed in today's NHL. It's a tough end for the Blues, a team that knows a bit about playoff misery itself. They have a good account of themselves right up to the end. When they ran out of steam against the relentlessness of the Sharks, they now face a summer of upheaval with the real possibility of losing both their coach and their captain, David Backes. Mark Spector of Sportsnet. It takes you out of character, this lifelong hunt for the only hockey trophy that anyone ever played for on their driveway as a kid. So there was Joe Thornton, the furthest thing from a cocky person you'll ever meet, offering to take on the entire rosters from the Penguins and Lightning at the same time. That's how invincible he felt moments after clinching his first trip to a Stanley Cup final in a 19-season career, ironically in a year when nobody picked the Sharks to win anything. Across the arena, there was David Backes, a rock of a man who wears the captain's C for the St. Louis Blues. Facing a bank of cameras and reporters, he momentarily broke down in tears after 20 games of the consummate physical and emotional sacrifice, 6 weeks of a journey only these guys can truly understand. It was over. The stop is pretty sudden, Backes said. Backes' Blues were not the better team in the Western Conference Finals. Thornton's Sharks were winning likely 12-14 of the 18 periods played, consummated by Wednesday's Game 6 5-2 Sharks victory. San Jose now advances to the Stanley Cup Final. Nine words that this hockey writer has never put together in a row before, not in 25 Sharks season. That's Mark Spector of Sportsnet. Jeff Gordon of the Post-Dispatch accumulating those columns on STLtoday.com.
Well written.
Yeah.
I like that.
Good stuff.
Your thoughts, 314-880-0808, 314-880-0808. Do you expect Ken Hitchcock back? Do you want Ken Hitchcock back? Do you expect David Backes back? Do you want David Backes back? A lot of people frustrated by Jay Bouwmeester's play. The issue there is he's got this contract that I don't think is necessarily something another organization is going to want to absorb. So the Blues may be stuck with that. Tim, I've always liked Hitch, but he needs to go. Sharks missed the playoffs last year, and look what they got from a new coach. Need new coaching blood. That's from J.D. Sprint. Seeing the people in the Blues Lounge posting about crying makes the loss easier because they are so out there and put sports in perspective for me. That's from the Wright City Lemming. The immediate response to adversity in the Sharks series was absent. This is what got the Blues through the Hawks and the Stars. Hard to find a way to explain this. That's from Ryan.
That's a legitimate text right
there.
Because they did step up when need be in those first two series and didn't in the third.
Yeah.
I also appreciate the fact that some people in the Blues Lounge were crying because that's what makes sports fun, though, that you care that much about a team that's never won it. It's not the Cardinals where they've won the World Series several times.
Sure.
If you're a fan of the Blues, this has been your life. Basically crying at the end of postseasons for a long time. So I get it.
And you got on a high because you thought that, oh my, there's the chance. There really is that chance.
Rightly so.
Yep. Yeah, you're right.
Guys, any chance of getting Tom Stillman on soon? Sorry if you already covered it. I like the DeWitts and think they're great owners, but I don't find myself cheering for them. I do find myself pulling for Stillman because of what he's done for the Blues. That comes from Bearcats. Yeah, a lot of people, which rarely works this way, but a lot of people were hoping for a Game 7, not just, of course, because that meant the Blues would have won last night, but also for the revenue it would have provided for the organization. How often do you have a fan base
rooting for the ownership
to make money? But that shows how much people truly like and buy into what Tom Stillman and the ownership group of the Blues have done. Keep in mind, this team was assembled, and Jeff Gordon wrote it, that same column I was just reading from. A team that was up against the salary cap. It's not like there's all kinds of moves that can be made as far as acquisition goes, unfortunately. Jeff Gordon on STLtoday.com writing, you know, something that I think you're not. I haven't really read anywhere else locally. That's not to say that it hasn't been written. I just haven't read it anywhere else locally. So where do the Blues stand today? On one hand, their competitive window appears to be wide open. Fabry rose up in the playoffs, becoming the one forward, always catching your eye, always fighting through, always making things happen. He's the catalyst in the impressive new team nucleus featuring Tarasenko, Schwartz, Stastny, Petrangelo, and Parayko. Stastny stepped up to become a team leader in this postseason, as did Petrangelo. They should help the Blues excel for some time, and for another year, the Blues have a strong bargain price goaltending tandem. On the other hand, this might have been a once-in-a-generation Blues team featuring loads of grit and uncommon depth somehow jammed under the salary cap. Several veterans who helped mold and sustain this team's personality could depart for salary cap reasons. And that's the thing. You know, yes, it was impressive, but it's just not by any means assured that it will happen in the next year. And so to be 21 minutes and 30 seconds away from being up 3-2 in the Stanley Cup Western Conference Finals, and then to just, I mean, never really be back in it, is very difficult for me personally as a fan to just write off. And at this point, less than 12 hours after the season comes to an end, go, oh, what a wonderful season it was. I don't know who would dispute that it was a great season. 109 points and 10 playoff wins, including beating defending cup champions and the number one team in the Western Conference. It's just that's straw man festival there. So I don't know if I've read anywhere, including
comment
sections.
That's not a debate.
Yeah, it was a great season. It was a great season. It brought many in St. Louis together because of the hockey team, and that's an outstanding thing. But for even though the Sharks certainly dominated the majority of the fight, the Blues were in position to go up 3-2 and advance to the Stanley Cup Finals, something that we haven't seen around here in 46 years. So it's tough to just go, yeah, it was a great year. What, do you want to fight about that? No, I don't. It was a great year.
And also, we have all summer to talk about how great of a year it was, and there'll be all these moves. Will Hitch be back? Which players will be back? That'll be the all off-season discussion. Right now, the wound is still fresh. I mean, you're allowed to mourn about this. The day after, that's when you can still, especially the day after.
However,
I mean,
people want to handle it. God bless
you. You can
them.
Talk about, hey, this one smarts because it's disappointing because they were so close in theory to winning the cup.
Yep. Mascot Agency is the company who built the new InsideSTL.com along with St. Louis Computer Services. Mascot Agency at 314-650-9083 or online. You can see their work at mascotagency.com or on InsideSTL.com. It's web design, logo design, marketing and advertising, social media, search engine optimization, and internet marketing. It's all on Mascot at mascotagency.com or 314-650-9083. It's creative that works as hard as you do. They build better brands, and it's where passion meets practicality. It's Mascot Agency, 314-650-9083. Mascot Agency, one of the builders of the new InsideSTL.com. The Acorns Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour in the books. We turn our attention to some guests in the 8 o'clock hour. Matthew Barnaby, always one of the best guests on the Stanley Cup playoffs. He's with us in 5 minutes. Brian Lawton, the NHL Network, also doesn't hesitate to be critical of the Blues. He'll be with us at 8:30, and I'm, of course, looking forward to hearing Kelly Chase at 9:30, presented by GFI Digital. Make sure you send your emails in. This email today, competition coming to a close. 3 more shows in the month of May. Stephen Wildwood holding on by 1 win over Madu Bowles at Hanks. Misty Plops is 2 back. And Cucky the Dwarf needs to win all 3 to force a sudden-death playoff on June 1st, something that I think we might do a live remote from Ballpark Village,
really?
Or Busch Stadium for, just to fit the 40,000-plus who'd want to watch it. So that's what we have for you on the program, 314-880-0808, or the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Closes out the Acorns Golf Link, 7 o'clock hour here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, CBS Sports 105.7 HD2 FM, 920 AM at InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.